The mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's always hard being the new kid. I've probably told some of this before, but here's my story. When I was 10 years old, my family moved from the small railroad town of Scriber to the relatively larger but still small city of Sault Ste. Marie. I was in grade 5. Now, it's hard to be the new kid, and it's even harder to be the new kid in grade 5. And to add a third strike against me, we moved in February, which meant I was joining the school year at a time when friendships and loyalties and pecking orders were already firmly established. There was no place for me. I got picked on every day. I got beat up many days, and I got framed more than once when the other girls would cause trouble in the classroom and blame it on me. All in all, grade 5 was a terrible year. It's hard being the new kid. Have you ever felt left out, or that you've arrived too late in the game to fit in anywhere? Kids go through this at school, but adults can feel this too. Hopefully, adults aren't kicking each other at recess. But we have other ways of propping up our own so-called grown-up pecking orders. That's why it can be hard to move to a new community or even to join a new church. No one likes arriving late in the game, and no one likes feeling left out. St. Paul was a man who probably felt just that way. In our epistle reading today, which is the last in our series on 1 Corinthians, he writes this: "Last of all, as to someone untimely born, Christ appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now, this whole reading from 1 Corinthians is just a prelude to a larger argument Paul wants to make about the resurrection. But just in this, considering this verse on its own, in this one verse, Paul identifies himself as a kind of new kid. As he says, he was last. What is he talking about here? Well, in the passage, Paul mentions many of the people that Jesus appeared to after he rose from the dead and before he ascended into heaven. But Paul was not among those privileged few. Jesus did appear to him, but later on. That phrase, "someone untimely born," has been a puzzler for scholars for generations, but in the end, Paul means he was late to being an apostle. In fact, he was last. So Paul is late, but he also may have felt left out. Because when it came to Jesus' inner circle, unlike the other apostles, Paul never knew Jesus during Jesus' time on earth. So unlike Peter and James and John and the other members of that official apostolic club, Paul is an outsider. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll see that Paul and some of the other apostles had their share of squabbles. It seems in any generation, being the new kid isn't easy. Now, not only was Paul late and left out in a way, he also felt unworthy. Not because the other apostles were picking on him. In fact, they resolved their differences in the peace of Christ. But Paul says he was unworthy because he had been picking on them. Actually, much worse than that, persecuting them and anyone else who was part of the way, even to the point of death. All this before his conversion, of course. And so Paul was late, at times may have felt left out, and definitely saw himself as unworthy. Which brings me to my key question. All of us have probably felt these things from time to time in our relationships with other people, but have you ever felt these things when it comes to your own relationship with God? I have, still do sometimes. When it comes to our individual relationships with God, many people are, or at least they feel, like a latecomer. Maybe you've heard the term a deathbed confession, people who turn to God at the very end of their lives, or in other cases, only at the very ends of their ropes. One of my favorite scenes from The Simpsons, the TV show, is when Lisa sees her older brother Bart praying for a snowstorm so that he won't have to go to school the next day and face a test he hasn't studied for. Lisa sees him, rolls her eyes, and says, "Prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel." Some come late. Other people may feel left out when it comes to their own relationship with God. These are the people, and I used to be one of them, who believe that John 3:16 applies to every other person on the planet but them. These people read John 3:16 like this: "For God so loved the world, except me, that he gave his only begotten Son to everyone except me, so that everyone other than me who believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life." Some people feel left out. And finally, there are those people who, when it comes to their own relationship with God, feel unworthy. Now, obviously, there's some overlap here. Those who feel late or left out are often the ones who also feel unworthy. But there are people who have known God, or at least about God, from early childhood, have understood that God's gifts of forgiveness, love, and salvation are gifts for them too, but still go through life feeling unworthy. They might believe they are saved, they might even believe God loves them, but they can't enjoy any of this because they feel so terrible about themselves. Well, in one sense, feeling unworthy or unfit, as Paul called it, is a proper feeling. Every Sunday in the liturgy, we declare that we are both worthy and unworthy. Worthy because God has made us so in Christ, but unworthy because that's the way we are without him. Some have pointed out that that's the real difference between the Book of Common Prayer and the Book of Alternative Services. One emphasizes our worthiness, the other our unworthiness, but they are both in many ways true. And so a humble posture before God is always, of course, appropriate. And particularly as we read on this Sunday of the Transfiguration, that glimpse of the holiness and the majesty of glory of God, we remember that a humble posture is always appropriate. But feeling unworthy crosses a line and becomes a problem when we distance ourselves from God because of how we feel. If we feel that low-grade unworthiness all the time, we can begin to believe that God must not want us in his presence, probably doesn't have time for our prayers, and certainly has better friends than us to hang out with. What can get us out of this state? Feeling late and left out and unworthy can become a vicious cycle. Well, the only thing that can get us out of it is the same thing that worked for St. Paul. Back to our reading for today, he wrote this: "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain." And there's the answer: grace. Now, grace is too huge and wondrous a concept to define quickly, and many of you already know much about it. And if you've been attending Ian's Bible study over the past few weeks, you're learning even more still. But if I had to sum it up, I would say grace is God's unmerited favor, or put more simply, grace means that we cannot earn God's many gifts to us, that God's gifts, forgiveness, salvation, hope, healing, and all the rest, are just that, gifts. Grace means that our merits do not add up to deserving, just as God's mercy means that our offenses can never grow large enough to eclipse Christ's shed blood on the cross. The only remedy for the late, the left out, and the unworthy is the grace of God. And if you don't think of yourself in any of those categories, well, God's grace is also the only remedy for the early, the included, and the good. See, Paul was not only a fearsome persecutor of the church, he was also an upstanding citizen, a well-educated scholar, a respected religious man. But when Christ appeared to Paul, then Saul, on that road to Damascus, Paul was undone, but he found God's grace. He learned that neither his goodness nor his badness were any match for what God wanted to do in him and through him. "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain." By this, Paul means that God's grace changed him, changed his life, changed his whole direction. So even though he was late to the game, even though he was unfit for the title of apostle, God received him, God had a plan for him, and Jesus commissioned him to spread the good news to the Gentiles. That personal encounter with the risen Lord transformed St. Paul. Well, this week, Wednesday to be exact, the season of Lent begins. And this is a time when we too can focus on how the grace of God and the claims of the gospel have, or maybe have not, transformed our own lives. And to help us in that reflection, Lent at St. Thomas's this year brings with it a new program called 15 Minutes with Jesus. Program might be kind of a lofty word. It's really a simple thing we'll be doing. Each Sunday in Lent, I will assign a Bible reading for all of us to read, just on our own, in our own homes, or wherever each of us may wish, on every day that week. There will also, along with the assigned reading, be suggestions as to how you can spend that 15 minutes with the passage and in prayer. We'll be reading on our own, but we'll all be reading the same thing. And there will be ways, optional ways, to share what each of us is learning all along the way. That's it. It's a deceptively simple plan. I say deceptive not because it's going to mislead you, but because I'm convinced that if we take this seriously, that if you and I do this seemingly small thing together, we will be changed. For some of you, 15 minutes with Jesus is not a big challenge. Some of you are already in the habit of doing this, or something like it, daily. But others here may struggle with the idea, and some may never have done anything like this before. Maybe you're late to this whole idea of engaging with Jesus personally outside of Sunday mornings. Anglicans sometimes can have that reputation, can't we? We like to go to church and be good people and do good things. Nothing wrong with any of that. But sometimes for us, anything beyond those three things feels suspect. We think that people who read the Bible and pray every day must be fanatics or fundamentalists or part of that born-again club. But if an intelligent, reasonable person like Paul can submit himself to a personal encounter with Christ and say again and again that he grows in grace, then so can we. The invitation is for all of us, and God's grace is big enough and patient enough for even the most skeptical, the latest, and the most unworthy. That means God's gracious invitation is big enough for you and big enough for me. And I'll tell you right now, I'm a fellow pilgrim in this, daily doing this stuff. It's hard for all of us. But as we allow Christ to change us, whether by taking part in 15 minutes with Jesus or in any of the other opportunities God may show you, we will learn to say with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. Amen.